to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It's Saturday, the day before Easter. And so I'm going to start out the show by saying happy Ishtar to all of you people out there. And a little bit of a question, what does the Easter rabbit get for making a basket? And, of course, the answer is 2 points, just like everybody else. And moving right along. Now, yesterday, early in the morning, I put up this story, and it's kind of a joke thing where the headline read, Easter is canceled, and then the subheadline goes, they found the body. And it links to the website in Srinagar, India, where the tomb of Jesus is claimed to exist. And this triggered just a flood of very angry, irate emails. You know, saying, no, that can't be real. We know that, Jesus didn't leave a body and he went to heaven and he did. And my favorite was, well, they're just doing that for money. And, of course, my response to that is, you know, do you see that collection plate coming around every Sunday that they want you to put money into? So kind of a commercial thing there on both sides of that. So it is with a small sense of vindication that we report that there has been an arrest in the death of 8-year-old Sandra Cantu. They've arrested her Sunday school teacher, Melissa Huckabee, who's apparently also the daughter of a minister, and they've arrested her for suspicion of murder and kidnapping in this situation. And if you heard on the news break, there's been another death. An 89-year-old woman was killed in the church parking lot of a Good Friday service as she was run over by the priest. So following the tradition of the people who are trying to ban guns for all the violence they cause, I think it's time that we ban churches. Save the children. Let's close these churches and everything down. And yes, I'm being facetious, but I want to make a point here that when you start going out and blaming the evils of the world on physical things like guns and cars and buildings and so forth, instead of where the responsibility lies, which is with the individual evil-committing human, you can take it to a ridiculous extreme and wind up banning things which, you know, we actually need. You're more likely to die at the hands of your doctor than you are to be shot by a criminal with a gun, but nobody talks seriously about banning all doctors. And I just wanted to kind of make that point. Now, switching gears a little bit, we have been talking about the Conficker worm, the computer worm, that has been making the rounds and infecting machines, and the last couple of days was downloading this new piece of encrypted code that nobody was sure what it was going to do. It's starting to manifest itself, and one of the things that Conficker is now doing, if your machine is infected, it is putting up this alert saying, Spyware Protect 2009, your machine is infected. Do you want us to remove the threats? And if you click yes, oh, boy, are you going to have a miserable, miserable time. This appears to be a form of hijackware. It's not clear if this is really the work of the people who did Conficker or if the people who've put together Conficker are merely leasing out their facility for the planting of this other hijackware. But what it basically does is it will burrow into your machine incredibly deeply and just annoy you and annoy you and annoy you until you're willing to buy the professional version $49.95. And the idea is that once you pay, basically it's an extortion fee. You'll send them the $49.95, and they will send you whatever password it takes for this thing to remove itself from your machine and let you go on about your business. The problem is, these people are criminals, obviously, from the behavior, the extortion they're pulling off, and you've just sent them your credit card number. So, once again, we are seeing the sterling moral character of these hackers who are out there. And again, I want to hit this point. We're hearing about all the stuff about terrorism and, you know, Al-Qaeda and all these things we're supposed to be afraid of. And you know, and we were talking about TSA fondling us at the airport and harassing us and making us miserable and accomplishing absolutely nothing. And we're going to get back to that in a little bit today. But if our U.S. government is unable to track down a bunch of pimply-faced, smelly kids in their basement playing computer games, then they absolutely are unable to stop any real terrorists that come along. And that is just an absolute fact. Every time another one of these Conficker worms comes along, or these Spyware Protect 2009 hijack stunts come along, every stolen credit card number, every online fraud is a proclamation to the world that the United States government is impotent. that they can't function in the 21st century. They don't have a clue. All they can do is try and scream at all of us to be good little people. And, of course, the more they scream, the less we're listening to them. But all of this computer hacking stuff, you know, proves it. Forget what you see on TV propaganda shows like 24, where they sit in the computer center and say, oh, yes, Ahmed is sitting in a cafe in Paris, France, and he's logged into a machine in Beijing, and that's logged into the machines in Washington, D.C. Forget it. Doesn't happen. Can't happen. If they could really do that, these hackers would be gone. The fact that these hackers are running rampant over all of our machines proves that the U.S. government, for all the money that they're spending and all the propaganda about how wonderful they are at dealing with these issues, they can't do a darn thing. They just absolutely can't. So you're going to have to take care of yourself. You know, it's like the police and crime and guns. You can wait for the police to show up, and they won't show up until the damage is done, or you can protect yourself. And that applies to computers as well as the real world. Now, speaking of protecting yourself, as we mentioned earlier in the week, ABC ran a program last night on armed citizens, and it was, as expected, an absolute propaganda piece to try and convince Americans that you're all just too stupid and dumb to handle a gun in a crisis situation. And they basically set up a lot of these scenarios to show how when a mass school shooter comes in, he's immediately going to shoot the people holding guns. Apparently, according to ABC at least, these mad school shooters have X-ray vision and incredible psychic abilities. So when they burst through the door, they immediately know who they've got a gun down. I mean, it was an incredibly unrealistic set of circumstances. And the bottom line is, the part that ABC wouldn't mention, ABC made no mention of the millions of Americans who every year prevent a crime simply by being in possession of a firearm and not even having to pull the trigger. And I'm one of those myself. I chased a burglar out of our home in Southern California with a gun. Did not have to pull the trigger, for which I'm very, very grateful. ABC doesn't mention that. ABC doesn't mention the fact that cops won't try and rob police stations where the police are. The crooks and shooters and stuff, they go to the gun-free zones. Virginia Tech, they were screaming, gun ban, gun ban, gun ban. Virginia Tech's campus already had a gun ban in effect. It just wasn't being enforced. So ABC is definitely siding with the gun grabbers, the gun banners. They are so scared that as the economy continues to deteriorate, we're going to hit a flashpoint where we're going to see here in the United States the same thing that's going on in Thailand. The protesters in Thailand have just succeeded in shutting down an Asian summit meeting. You know, for leaders from all over Asia were coming to Thailand. I guess they're going to go down to Bangkok after it was all over and have some fun down there in the rather notorious portions of the city. But the protesters basically got into the area where the summit was happening. They've called it all off. They're sending all the leaders home. They are demanding that their government step down. Same thing that we saw in Iceland. Same thing we're seeing in country after country around the world. It inevitably is going to happen here. Our government is in a total panic. They want to talk you out of your guns. ABC is trying to help them do it. And this show that they did last night was one of the most blatant pieces of propaganda to try and convince you that you're really a danger to yourself if you have a firearm. No, we're not. We're a danger to a government that has gone completely out of control. We are at the point that Thomas Jefferson wrote about when he justified the existence of the Second Amendment in the Constitution, or rather in the Bill of Rights. He said, as a last resort, so that the people can throw off tyranny in government. We're there. We're there. That's where we are. And the government knows it, and they're trying to figure out some way they can convince us that, ooh, guns are icky. Guns are bad. We have got to get rid of the, ooh, we can trust the police to come take care of us. By the way, chief of police has been fired for tasering his own wife. Very wonderful, and he probably had it coming. But how come they're not firing the police who taser people who don't deserve it? That's what I want to know. Just because it's the guy's wife, he gets fired. And he should be. Don't get me wrong. Tasering his wife was a tacky thing to do, and he should have gotten fired. All right, that brings up, boy, how time is flying. That brings us to the end of our first segment. We're going to take a break here. If you want to join us on the air, the number is 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Somali pirates of the Caribbean. We'll be right back.
The is Cascadia Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to take a break in the news of the current events here. I want to talk about this Somali pirate situation. As I've mentioned in days past, this really does not seem very credible to me. I mean, we had this situation where these Somali pirates supposedly hijacked this ship. Then the American crew got control of the ship back. Then the Somali pirates are off in a lifeboat with the captain. Then they run out of fuel. Then the captain almost escapes. And it's like the gang who couldn't shoot straight. They're not very credible pirates. We were talking about this in the chat room over at whatreallyhappened.com, and some of our readers were making the very cogent comment, how are a bunch of these scraggy Somali pirates able to hijack this ship when just the bow wake from this large cargo ship is going to swamp the small boats they're supposedly using? And now we've got this standoff where these pirates have the captain and the warships are standing around, and Hillary Clinton is asking, is acting like it's the Barbary Coast all over again. And it just seems like this is a manufactured event. There was a news blurb, a crawl on the TV news early in the morning that the pirates had called for four more pirate ships, hijacked ships, as reinforcements and just trying to build this thing up. Now, a couple of things you need to be aware of right now. This ship, this original cargo ship that got hijacked, okay, is owned by a company that is a major U.S. defense contractor. This ship is primary business, is running around the world, dropping things off for the U.S. Department of Defense. Okay, they are headquartered. Okay, this ship's home port is in the... hang on a second, I'm looking for the name of it here. I've lost my place in my notes. They're headquartered in a U.S. harbor, and right where they're docking are the new offices of Zim Shipping. Now, if you don't remember the name, Zim Shipping is the Israeli state shipping company. They are very involved with the Israeli government. These are the people who broke their lease in the World Trade Towers, lost a $50,000 deposit in order to break their lease and move out of the World Trade Towers 1 week before 9/11. And they moved down to this new location, and it happens to be on the same harbor where this supposedly hijacked ship calls home port. And it works for the U.S. Department of Defense. So already we're getting these very suspicious situations. Norfolk, Virginia. Okay, Norfolk, Virginia. And we're getting this very strange set of circumstances about this ship. It works for the U.S. Department of Defense. It is at least associated by physical space with Zim Shipping of Israel. And it's running all over the place. Now, you need to remember, back when the Islamic Courts Union, the ICU, seized control of Mogadishu, okay, they virtually eliminated piracy. Because the Islamic law regarding criminals is very strict. Sometimes our media holds it up as, oh, it's a sign of how brutal their country is. You know, that they'll, you know, people who are criminals are dealt with harshly. It's like when the Taliban had control of Afghanistan and they wiped out the drug trade immediately because the punishment for getting caught was just that severe, it acted as a deterrent. That's what punishment is supposed to be, a deterrent. Okay? And so the ICU had eliminated piracy from Somalia. So then the U.S. goes in and they back the Ethiopians against the ICU in January of 2007. And they overthrow the ICU. And almost immediately, pirates began appearing off the coast of Somalia, taking tankers as prizes and demanding ransom. Okay? So... it's like, again, what happened in Afghanistan. As soon as we overthrew the Taliban and kicked them out, the opium poppies came back. I mean, that is one inevitable result of the United States government going in and tinkering with another country, is the really bad crimes revive. Taliban starts growing opium and sending heroin to the United States again. Somalia starts engaging in pirates. Maybe, 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 maybe. Somebody has to be giving the pirates the identities and courses of these ships that they're hijacking. And in the case of this latest one that they've grabbed, again, the ship is so large, how do the pirates stop it? How do they slow it down? It's not like they're out there with their own warship, you know, with a row of cannons along the gun deck. It's really sounding more and more, you know, weak, and it's sounding like this is really a staged setup where they're trying to justify yet again a U.S. military invasion of Somalia. And if you've ever seen the movie Black Hawk Down, we haven't done too well in that part of the world. We succeed in killing a lot of people, including our own, and we don't accomplish much of anything. Why do we want to go into Somalia? Well, it controls, obviously, access to one of the major Gulf regions in the oil regions of the Middle East. It has tremendous amounts of natural resources, including lots of fresh water, that a lot of people in the area covet, especially Israel. Israel's getting desperate for water. That's why they went into Lebanon. They wanted the Litani River. They didn't get it, and they're getting thirsty. And they're trying to find a way that they can get access to major, major supplies of water, because they're still trying to convince more and more people to move into all these new settlements they're building on the Palestinian lands. And the illegal settlers, basically they're used to having a lot more water available than the Palestinians are. So Israel's got a major problem. They got to get access to water. So I got to tell you, this whole thing about the Somalian pirates, it's feeling very fake. It's feeling manufactured. It's very subtle. They've been building it up over a long period of time. But just the way this whole hijacked ship came down, I'm not buying that they're Somalis. I think there are probably American and Israeli intelligence agencies involved in this so-called pirate fleet. So I think we need to keep a very careful eye on there, but it's very, very worrying that Hillary Clinton is out there acting like this is a repeat of the Barbary Coast and how the Marines have got to go in and we're going to march into Tripoli and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, of course, she personally will not do it. It's going to be your kids who get sent into Black Hawk Down, the sequel. You know, we don't learn from our mistakes. We're Americans. So, anyway, now, yesterday, I went on a rant about the Transportation Safety Administration. And I talked about how they have been abusing people, and they're really not finding any terrorists, and they're not finding any real bombs, and they're just arrogant and intrusive and blustering and bullying, and they can't find real terrorists, so they're going to terrorize us to make it look like they're doing something to justify their paycheck. Well, almost as a validation of just how out of control it's getting, we are getting word now. As you know, for some time they've been developing this experimental scanner that lets the TSA look at you completely naked. And it was being promoted as an alternative to a pat-down. Well, that's kind of changed. And when we come back from these words from our sponsors, I'll tell you exactly how it's changed and why every pervert in America is now sending a resume to the Transportation Safety Administration. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, the thugs at the airport that fondle your wives and daughters, drop your laptops, take your nail clippers, and otherwise make your life miserable as you try and get about the country on your business. We were talking about them in light of the audio tape of an absolute bullying of a law-abiding citizen traveler who had done absolutely nothing wrong, and he was still being treated like a criminal. The TSA is trying to come back and saying, well, he was wrong to be living his life the way he thinks he should. He should be living his life the way we have decided represents something that is not a threat to the United States. Okay, so hard on the heels of that debate, we're getting this little news story. So this is a holiday weekend. This is a holiday weekend. And on the holiday weekend, the corporate traditional media will dump the stories that they know are likely to upset people. And so by the time we come back from the Easter holiday and everything, it'll be old news, but at least they can say, well, we did cover it. You can't say we weren't telling you what you needed to know. Yes, we did report it. But they do what are called the dumps. The bad news gets dumped on Friday evenings and especially along holiday weekends, and that's why we're seeing all this stuff come out. So, back to the TSA. You have probably been hearing over the last several months how the Transportation Safety Administration, the Department of Homeland Security, and a whole bunch of your tax dollars are being poured into the development of these millimeter wave scanners, which will allow the operators to basically see you naked, to make sure that you're not carrying something underneath your clothing that might evade a metal detector or a pat-down. There has been a huge public outcry, obviously, against these scanners. We don't want to have to travel and have some complete, total stranger see all of our warts and wrinkles. And we were being told that the naked scanner was going to be an alternative so that people who didn't want to be touched could choose to just take a stroll through the scanner. And then we were told this made it your choice. We were also told that they were going to put these special filters on there that reduced everything to an outline so you weren't really being seen naked. It was just more of a line drawing of your body. Well, two developments. That filtering line drawing system has been abandoned because they can't make it work where it's still going to show things like knives and explosives, and so that's gone. These scanners are back to seeing you completely naked. And now we're being told this is going to be the mandatory inspection. Everybody gets fed through these. If you don't want to go through the naked scanner, then you will be subject to a very intrusive pat-down search. And they're saying, yes, we will touch your genitals, we will touch your breasts, we will touch anything we feel like, because obviously you're hiding something. So I got to tell you, every sex pervert in America is sending their resumes to the TSA right now. Because I know during the pat searches, they're saying, well, we're only going to have guys, you know, touch guys and only girls touch girls. Okay, but how do I know that this guy who's fondling me or that woman who's fondling my wife, how do we know they're not gay? And they're not getting, you know, they're not interested in terrorism. They're just getting their jollies. They get to touch all the bodies that they want all day long at the airport. I mean, it's a completely out-of-control situation. And this is going to be another kneecapping of our tourism industry in the entire country. Because, again, it's one more reason for people not to come to the United States of America. There are some cultures where people are very shy, and they don't want to be seen naked, and they don't want to be touched. It's offensive. It's offensive. And I want to tell you how completely bizarre, how Twilight Zone this situation is. Here in Hawaii, we're a tropical island paradise. And a long time ago, before the missionaries showed up, you know, people would go swimming in the ocean completely naked because a bathing suit's really just kind of a waste of fabric to most people. And they would lie on the beach in the sun and have a really good time. And that sort of continued as part of our tourism tradition. There were beaches that were set aside, little areas where you could go. And, you know, it was understood that people on those beaches were going to be sunbathing nude or swimming nude. And if you were offended by that, go to one of the other beaches. And everybody got along real fine. Then a few years ago, a bunch of morally concerned citizens, all of whom owned T-shirt and bathing suit stores, I might add, lobbied the Hawaii government to ban clothing-optional bathing and sunbathing in the state of Hawaii. We immediately saw a drop in tourism because a lot of the people who'd been coming to Hawaii are naturists or whatever they choose to call themselves, and they started taking their business down to Mexico or to other tourist destinations where they have a little bit less screwed-up attitude about the human body. But here in Hawaii, despite all the hula girl, nearly naked hula girl posters and statues and everything that they use to lure you here, it is illegal to be on the public beaches and the ocean without some form of attire. And yet, in order to get here and in order to leave, you're going to have to stand there electronically naked to the eyes of total strangers with rubber gloves on their hands who are going to be looking at you naked as you go in and out of the island. And yet, if you don't keep your clothes on, once you're out of the airport, you get a ticket. Now, does that sound like a kind of a place where you could have a relaxing vacation? It doesn't to me. It doesn't to me. A member in the chat room is saying, are there any long-term ill effects of millimeter wave radar in the human body, especially the frequent flyers? And, yeah, that's obviously a valid concern. The TSA is saying, oh, no, 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 absolutely not. This will not hurt you. This will not hurt you. This will be fine. Folks, it's a microwave oven. And I don't care if it's very, very low power. You know, when they're talking about millimeter waves, they're talking about sub-microwaves. It's going to have the same effect on your body as a microwave oven. And we already know that even if you're not actually being cooked or burned with a microwave oven, if your brain is being exposed to this kind of radiation, it does have consequences. There's unfortunately been this very terrible craze where people are jamming open the doors of microwave ovens. They're defeating the safety, and then they zap their brains because they get high on it. And then they run for Congress. So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take the government's word that these scanners are not harming me. This is the same government that insisted fluoride wasn't going to hurt me. This is the same government that insists to this day that vaccines loaded with thimerosal are not going to hurt our kids. This is the same government that told us Saddam had nuclear bombs. This is the same government that told us the USS Maine was sunk by a mine in Havana Harbor. This is the same government that claimed there were torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. I don't believe anything this government says, least of all about radio wave energy pouring onto my body. And it's not that I am being shy. I'm too old to be shy. And this is not a body that anybody's going to get excited about anyway. But there is a principle here that we are being treated like worse than criminals, worse than slaves. We're being treated like chunks of meat to go through the little inspection portal as we go from one can to another can. And why the people of the United States of America are willing to put up with this, when we all know that Osama bin Laden died in December of 2001 and every Osama we've been shown since then is a fake, why do we put up with this? Are they putting tranquilizers in the water or something? It's just, you know, and they're trying to get this attitude. Well, if you won't let us look at you naked, you can't travel anywhere. All right, fine. Another reason for the economy to shut down. I'm not going to go do my job anymore if I'm going to get treated like this. I'll just sit at home. Doesn't do me any good to work hard and make money. You guys are just going to take it anyway to go make bombs to kill brown people with. We're nearing a flashpoint. I'm sorry. Somebody in the chat room is saying, yeah, it's time to take my SSRI drugs. It's ridiculous. Folks, you got to step back for a minute, take a few deep breaths, close your eyes, calm down, open your eyes, and look at what this country has become. Checkpoints, spy TV cameras, reading your email, listening to your phone calls. Now you got to get naked for total strangers just to go through an airport. Where does it stop? Where does it stop? And who makes it stop? This is a terrible country to be in right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Join us on the air at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room. We will be right back.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
When all is twisted steel, was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Just finishing up with TCI. I was telling the gang in the chat room, when I know I'm going to travel, I'll wear the same pair of socks for a week ahead of time just to see the look on the TSA's face when I take my shoes off at the airport. Okay? Peels the paint right off those machines they put your luggage through. My goodness there. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to go back to the Somali pirates for a minute here because it was the introductory topic on the Washington Journal this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they started off with the fact that they were the naval vessel was there and they were sending another naval vessel, and they were asking, you know, what our next play should be or whatever. And so I called in and I told him that basically I thought it was inappropriate to be using the military in this situation, that these were criminals, and that the first thing to do is get the gentleman back. And I thought $2 million would be a bargain as compared to other things they could do. I don't know what the logistics involved in deploying the military on them is, but I'm sure it's a lot more than the $2 million. And when I suggested that, then he immediately went to another newspaper article and started talking about bin Laden and Al-Qaeda being there in Somalia, and what was my response to that, that maybe the military needed to be in there. Anyway, I said that.
That's the giveaway right there. When they start saying, oh, bin Laden's in Somalia, then we're going back into Mogadishu. It's going to be another Black Hawk down. It's going to be another disaster. This is turning into the country that can't shoot straight. Basically the overwhelming consensus, I'm going to put a poll up on what really happened just to ask about this, but it seems the consensus of opinion coming in here is that this whole Somali pirates thing is yet another manufactured reason to go to war, to just keep the war economy going on, because our country has forgotten how to do anything else except make war. We don't know how to make peace anymore. And we're just going to start conquering stuff, and we're trying to invade our way out of the debt the government has gotten itself into. And I don't know that I want to go on trading the blood of our children for money to pour into the pockets of the bankers. But that seems to be the current agenda of the U.S. government. And I don't think they're going to stop. They're like drug addicts. They're addicted to the money. They're addicted to war. And what we need here is an intervention.
Well, I just thought it was kind of tricky the way that he switched there from a group of criminals to now Al-Qaeda is in there, and now we need to deploy the military. One way or another, we need the military in there.
Yeah, that's the agenda. Mike, we're going to have to let you go. Your phone is really breaking up, and I'm having a hard time hearing you. And so, but thank you for calling, and please call in again. But, you're absolutely right. It's a war agenda, and the pirates are just the manufactured excuse. Okay, that was Mike in Georgia, and if you'd like to join us on the air, grab a phone. Landline would be preferable. Cell phones are getting really flaky these days. And the reason for that is, obviously, the cell phone companies, as their revenues shrink, they're turning off some of the towers. They're no longer running them anymore, and there's a lot of cross rental and stuff going on. So they're trying to optimize their systems. And very often you find yourself, I mean, sitting here in my home, on my last cell phone provider, I could not get a good connection. It's one of the reasons I changed providers. All right, so getting back to the news here, and going back to the economy here, 3M. Is offering early retirement to 3,600 U.S. employees. And basically what they're saying is that there's a decline in demand for their products. Well, as long as we keep letting workers go, as long as we keep firing Americans, laying them off, sending them to early retirement, those are the customers. Everyone is bemoaning the fact there are no customers. Oh, there are no customers. The malls are full of empty stores. Commercial real estate is going into default because nobody has any customers. Why don't we have customers? Well, we took the jobs away. The U.S. government gave tax credits to corporations to move our jobs overseas. They took our jobs away. What is Barack Obama doing? He is borrowing on the backs of those same workers who no longer even have a means to pay, in order to shower money all over Wall Street. Then he has the gall to turn around yesterday and say, you know, you people really ought to go out and buy houses right now. And the universal answer is, with what? We don't have the jobs that we need to make the payments on all this money you want us to borrow. You've taken $1 trillion from the public treasury and given it to the banks so the banks can loan it back to us at interest, and now you're scratching your head why we're not lining up to borrow it. You're not going to get this economy back on track without getting high-paying jobs back to the working and middle classes. There is no other way. Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can't just print up the money and make everything look rosy. I've been saying this for a long time. I'm going to repeat it one more time. The basic problem with the current U.S. government is it's made up of accountants and lawyers. And so everything is, let's fix it by changing the rules. Let's fix it by changing the way we keep the books. That is not a solution in the long term. It's basically what you do to look good for the next election, which seems to be all that they can really think about. As a nation, we have lost our deep inherent love for manufacturing products, which is what made this nation great throughout its first 100 years. We lost our love of making things that other people wanted to buy. We were the nation that invented things like interchangeable parts and, the cotton gin and the telegraph and the telephone and all these wonderful things people wanted to buy. And then over the last 30 years, we got this corporate culture and governmental culture that said, we don't need to make things. We can just move the money around in fast circles and it will grow all by itself. We'll let those other countries make things. We don't need to. We're the post-industrial economy. A lot of wishful thinking out there. You don't run a nation without making products to sell. And if you want to make products, you got to invent them. You got to create things no other country knows how to make. Whether it's the telephone or the personal computer or whatever. You make something no other country knows how to make that everybody's going to want to own one of, and that's how you make a nation prosperous. When you say, I am above manufacturing, I don't have to dirty my hands making things, then the doom of the nation is sealed, and it has been for quite some time. And a lot of commentators, this one included, have been pointing that out, that we've been on a bad path, a self-destructive path, for a very, very long time. I think the U.S. government is nearing its death throes, and our fear is that in its final thrashing about, trying to cling to life, it's going to start attacking anybody within reach without any reason at all, and we're seeing it now. Their only solution to their problems is to go out and make war, steal other people's wealth to pay their bills with, or kill the people we owe money to. That seems to be the strategy that's out there right now. So as we come up to the end of our number one here, we're talking about the economy. 3M is letting people go. Disney is dropping staff. It's no longer the happiest place on earth. Interesting story. One Disney employee was on Thursday honored for decades of service to the Disney organization in the park, given a plaque and a big to-do and press conference and everything. Yes, what a wonderful, loyal employee. 24 hours later, got his layoff notice. the Mickey Mouse outfit, what can I tell you? Strip malls, neighborhood shopping centers, regional malls, the big malls, they're losing stores at the fastest pace in the last decade as a spending slump forces retailers to trim down to stay afloat, according to a real estate industry report. Yeah, the stores are closing. People are walking around and looking and admiring and dreaming about the things they'd like to buy, but they don't have the money to buy because their incomes are going down. They're having to take lower-paying jobs. A lot of them aren't working at all. They're living on their savings. They're living on their credit cards. Everybody's cutting back. They always talk about consumer confidence powering the economy. Consumer confidence is the willing to go out further into debt in order to sustain an elevated lifestyle. And most people are too smart for that. They're trying to pay their debts down. And, that's a double whammy because under the way our economy works, when you pay off your debts, that money ceases to exist in the economy. No debt, no money. That's the way it works. We'll be back after the news and commercials talking about the economy and about Easter and about all the other things that we're seeing in these very interesting times indeed. So until the end of the news, stay safe, stay tuned, stay attentive, drink coffee, and we'll be right back. Aloha, America. And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, our number two of our Saturday, the day before Easter show. And we're all getting ready to do our drive-by eggings and so forth and so on. And it's kind of weird. I'm wondering what dumping all of this candy and sugar on the kids in just one day, in this very short interval of time. I wonder what kind of an effect it's having on them. And maybe we need to start thinking about sort of a healthier approach to the Easter symbolism. And, you know, and I realize it's they're really talking about fertility. That's what the rabbits and the eggs all mean. It doesn't really have anything to do with Christianity and Jesus. It's symbols that are brought forward from the earlier festivals that tie it all together with spring as a time of rebirth and renewal. And we're going to bribe you with all kinds of candy and stuff to simply go along with the program here. And so you'll grow up just sort of in the habit of going along with the program and never asking questions as we declare Holy Crusade against whoever we don't like this week. Over in Brooklyn, we are continuing to see more and more of these so-called titans of the financial industry being exposed as frauds and crooks. We know that Stanford Financial has been brought down. Bernie Madoff has been brought down. Now, Brooklyn developer, and I hope I do not botch the name, Eliyahu Ezekwe, has been indicted in an $18 million mortgage fraud, where he basically entitled families to buy homes and took the money for the payments, but never actually transferred the deeds into their names once the properties were paid for. So we're beginning to see this real problem with white-collar crime, and it's been a problem all along, and it's never really been dealt with. The media and law enforcement always keeps the focus on street crime. Those muggers and those burglars and those rapists, those are the problem that you should be afraid of, but you're not allowed to shoot them yourself. Got to wait for us to show up. But the reality is that when you talk about the financial damage that is being done, white-collar criminals do far more damage to the United States economy than street crime. Going all the way back to Lincoln Savings and Loan and their collapse as part of the 80s SNL debacle, which we thought was bad back then, and compared to what we're going through now, it's just, it's a speed bump. But back then it was a big scandal, and it snared John Glenn, you know, Mr. Right Stuff himself, and John McCain and a bunch of other people, the Keating Five. It was a huge scandal. And what was never really examined carefully by the corporate media was that Charles Keating, through Lincoln Savings and Loan, stole more money from the American public, from depositors, from his investors, than all of the street crime in the entire United States that year. That is the scale. And certainly looking at Bernie Madoff and Madoff with the loot, they're now saying that it's probably even higher than the $65 billion that they're admitting to now, that it may go as high as $100 billion by the time all the little feeder funds and everything sort out their paperwork as to who does and does not have their retirements intact. $100 billion, that's a lot of money. I mean, where did you ever see, like, a drug lord who made that kind of money? Most drug lords are satisfied with just, you know, $20, $30, $40 million. When you're talking $50 billion. Somebody made the rather interesting observation, two observations really. We're all focused now on these Somali pirates. Ooh, bad pirates out taking a ship and everything. But we're still not really seeing the media get into the Pirates of Wall Street. And, you know, I keep thinking about to this Monty Python movie. It was a movie within a movie where they start out with this insurance company in this office, and everybody, and they're sort of drawing a parallel between slaving away at the accounting department in this company and galley slaves. And then there's a revolt, and they take control of the building, and they hoist the sails, and they go off, you know, plundering other corporations and become these pirates in the business district of London. And, you know, it's all fun and it's a spoof, but it was a commentary on the very predatory practices that we see among large corporations. Green mill, leveraged buyouts, buying a company to strip and sell its assets and throw everybody out of work, the kind of things that we saw in the movie Wall Street. It's come to pass. We're seeing it right in front of us. Wall Street's big problem is they are all pirates. They are all hoisting the Jolly Roger, and they're plundering the American people just as fast as they can. But we're going to focus on the Somali pirates, because those are the bad pirates. And in Wall Street, they're all good pirates. And we should just love them the way that we love the guy from the Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain Jack Sparrow, or whatever his name is. He's a good guy. Yes, he's robbing and stealing and killing and murdering, but he does it with style and panache, and therefore we can applaud him and buy tickets to go see his adventures. But the Somali pirates, they're bad pirates. The Wall Street pirates, they're the sweetest-smelling pirates in the world, and we should all should love them. But the reality is that it is a huge, you know, huge problem out there. Now, the other point that a reader wrote in the other day is the James Bond movie, Goldfinger, was one of the classic James Bond movies where Goldfinger has got his own private stash of gold off in other parts of the world, and he's going to blow up Fort Knox, like there's anything still in it, with a nuclear weapon, making that gold radioactive and unusable, and thereby making his stocks of gold worth 10 times as much. And it was a wonderful plot, and everybody said, oh, what a daring, daring scheme. But if you really think about it, it is small potatoes compared to what Bernie Madoff has done. We're seeing real-life supervillains ripping off fantastic amounts of money, and so far, they're getting wrist slaps. There's no James Bond coming in to, like, throw Goldfinger out the airplane window or electrocute Oddjob. No spectacular end to any of these criminals. They're getting country club prison sentences and club fed. They're being treated almost like a form of royalty. Sometimes I think our government actually has hero worship for some of these greatest of the great criminals. They admire them and respect them. It certainly shows in our history books in the schools. When we're being taught history in the school, some of history's greatest monsters and killers are held aloft as something, wow, we should really look at these guys. They were really great. Alexander the Great. Alexander the Butcher. Alexander the Conqueror. Alexander the Let's March into Other People's Countries that Don't Belong to Us and Kill Them Until They Agree to Work for Us. That's what Alexander did. They call him Alexander the Great.
Rome, the greatness of Rome, the glory that was Rome.
The glory that was Rome was built on a culture of enslavement. And yet it's held up as an ideal. Look at the architecture of Washington, D.C. They try and copy as much of the Roman mystique as possible. They admire Rome because it conquered and enslaved and looted its way across Asia and Europe and parts of Africa. This is held up as a good thing that was being done. And now, obviously, as it faces its own decline, the U.S. government is embarking on a similar situation. We've invaded and are occupying Iraq, where we've invaded and are trying to occupy Afghanistan. They're drooling over Iran. They're drooling over Pakistan. Now they're trying to justify going into Somalia. They sort of telegraphed that one with this AFRICORPS, which sounds a lot like the Nazis' Africa Corps. And nobody in Africa wants to have anything to do with it because they just barely got rid of the British colonialist period. And now we've got an American colonialism starting to take root over there. I think we admire the wrong people in our culture and in our history. I've often commented, we live in a culture right now where our finest restaurants will seat drug lords, mafia hitmen in their Armani suits, but would refuse to admit Mother Teresa and Gandhi because they don't quite meet the dress code. That's our culture today, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here today. And we're just covering all kinds of news. We've been talking about the economy and everything. And, you know, the layoffs are hitting everybody. You know, Disney's letting people go. 3M's letting people go. It's really rough. And apparently now it has even come down to the torturers. CIA Director Leon Panetta yesterday told employees of the spy agency that private contractors are no longer allowed to interrogate suspected terrorists. The agency is closing down what remains of its secret network of torture centers. I can already see the scene at the unemployment office. The clerk says, "Did you torture anyone this week?" And the torturer goes, "No." The clerk says, "Did you try to torture anyone this last week?" And the torturer goes, "Yeah." And the clerk says, "Okay, here's your check, but you'd better torture someone soon because your benefits are about to run out." So it's tough times in the economy for everybody right now. Getting back to the news, I was watching the corporate feed during the break here, and they're still going on about this man and woman who were found at this Michigan college shot with a shotgun. They're insisting it's a murder-suicide. I think it's a little premature to say that right now. And again, as with all these other shootings, we're not being told if any of these people are on antidepressant medications, but they're back on this situation where they're saying, see, if this guy could not have gotten a shotgun, they'd still be alive, and they're just pounding on this one. Meanwhile, there have been two other incidents that are not getting as much press coverage, and probably for reasons that will become very, very obvious. There was a woman killed Friday in a sword fight. Two guys got into a fight with swords and managed to poke each other a couple of times and put themselves into the hospital. This woman got in between, attempting to stop the fight tragically, and she was run through and killed. And there was another situation down in Texas where five gentlemen from Houston were up vacationing in Waco, and two of them were eating dinner in the motel room when one of them had a venting of bodily gas, I guess is a polite way of putting it. And it was apparently enough of an offense where the other gentleman stabbed the offending farter to death with a knife. And I mention these because violent people will be violent with whatever's at hand. And these two latter two stories, obviously there wasn't a gun involved. So you can't say the gun was the bad thing here. The gun is causing the violence. That's nonsense. We had a sword. We had and a knife. And in Japan, this is very common. Guns are banned in Japan. But you get a lot of maiming and killing and murder and injury with knives and swords. Their culture is very heavily into the sword. They make very fantastically wonderful swords. So, you know, the idea that banning guns is going to end this is nonsense. People will use what's at hand. We're going to go to the phones here. We're going to go to Thomas in Sweden. Aloha, Thomas. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha. Good morning, Mr. Rivero. Yeah, I have two things. One, I want to know how a 16-foot-long fishing trawler can capture a 300-yard-long cargo ship, and it's really odd. You know, the Maersk Alabama, that's a strange ship. She's American flagged, and she has an American crew, but that's a Danish company.
But they're a U.S. defense contractor, and it looks to me like they're being used as a cutout.
Yeah, I have visions of the Gulf of Tonkin, a non-incident.
It does seem to be that way, but you're absolutely right. The boat that these pirates supposedly used to hijack this ship, we're not talking like, you know, a pirate schooner that's faster and more agile or even all that well armed. It just seems like they sailed into the front of the ship and held up their hand and said, "Stand and deliver." And the ship's captain said, "Boom, all right, you got us. It's a fair cop." And they come on board and then they leave. It really is. It's starting to look like Monty Python out there.
It's pathetic.
And like this other caller who called in and said, you know, the Washington Journal, when he called in and said this isn't making any sense, the guy turned around and said, "Well, Osama may be there in Somalia, so we got to go in because of that." It just makes it really obvious that it isn't the pirates and it isn't even Osama, that the goal is to sell a military incursion into Somalia to the American people. and say, oh, it's really necessary. We've got to do this. You know, it's going to be cheaper just to put some guns on the cargo ships.
Is that where Osama is? I thought he was in a CIA retirement home in Florida.
I think they got him in a freezer somewhere buried underneath Walt Disney World so that when they need him again, they can thaw him out and, you know, put the animatronics inside and say,
yes, I am Osama, and I am coming to hurt you unless you bomb the crap out of
and whoever the designated target for the day is. But it is, this whole thing about the Somali pirates, they're trying to turn this into this really huge, ugly incident that's really big and scary, and I'm not seeing a lot of people buy it. And part of it is just the fact that the U.S. government is dealing, and the corporate media with them. They've got a huge credibility problem right now of their own making. Nobody wants to take the risk of being fooled again. We've reached a point where if there was a real, genuine emergency, the U.S. government is paralyzed. Nobody is going to risk being made a fool of again by believing anything the U.S. government and the corporate media is going to say.
Well, as they say, you have a saying here in Tennessee, fool me once, you can't fool me twice.
We won't get fooled again. That was so funny when Bush did that. Oh, that's amazing.
I miss him. I miss him.
I don't like his replacement. I don't want him back either. You know, I want some adults in our national government, and we better look at the lead in the pipes, because that may be a big part of what we're dealing with, why they seem to be so insane in Washington, D.C., is all the lead in the drinking water there.
There's something to that. George Bush Sr. developed Graves' disease. This is, the thyroid gland.
Yeah.
That's why he has those great big eyes when he looks at you. He was messing around with the White House for at least 12 years drinking the water there. This is serious. For once, I'm not joking, all right?
No, I know you're not joking. I mean, did you hear the story where the CDC has literally been fudging the records so they don't have to go in and replace the D.C. water supply? But it's heavily lead contaminated, and they are seeing psychological symptoms in the people of Washington, D.C. who are exposed to that water.
Well, I've been seeing it for years.
No, that came out yesterday. The CDC's been fudging the records. They've been concealing the true scale of the problem.
No, I've been seeing the psychological problems for years. That's what I meant.
Yeah, haven't we all? Haven't we all? They're drinking lead in the... Let me finish this thought real quick. They're drinking lead in the water, and the first symptom is they want to fling lead at brown people around the world.
Yeah, all too true, all too sad. I'm going to wish you a happy weekend here, whatever you're celebrating, okay?
Okay. Well, happy Ishtar, and hope you get lots of candy, eggs, and stuff, and put yourself into a diabetic coma.
Thank you.
All right, have a good weekend. That was Thomas. Always a great joy to have him here on joining us on the air. Okay, my goodness, this show is just whizzing by. We're going to take a break here, come back and find something else to talk about. I haven't even decided just yet. If you've got something you want to talk about, call us at 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we will be right back.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I'm checking the email. We've got email, the chat room, everything's running here, and we're having a really good time, and some stuff is coming in the email. An update on that story about the Texas police chief who was fired for tasering his wife. He has now been charged. The crime he has been charged with for using a taser on his wife is assault with a deadly weapon. This is a tacit admission that tasers are not considered benign and harmless. Police officer tasered his wife. He's been charged with assault with a deadly weapon. So I think they've just admitted more than they wanted to. Now, this is really interesting. This is just now coming in now. We've been talking about the Somali pirates and how it seems like this intelligence operation to try and trigger a war. Israeli sources are now saying that these Somali pirates are working for Iran in order to replenish Hamas weapons supplies. And they have a Death Star honest to goodness, they have a Death Star. And it's just this long, convoluted theory of how Iran has approached the Somali pirates to go out and raid things on the high seas to make money, which is then smuggled into Hamas, which is then smuggled back out to buy weapons, which are then smuggled back in, and blah, 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 blah. And it is a very convoluted story, and I think this is almost like a flashing neon sign that this whole Somali pirate thing is an Israeli Mossad intelligence op, because it basically links all of their favorite enemies together in one group. We're gonna tarnish Iran and Hamas with it all at the same time and link them all together so that when the U.S. goes after the Somali pirates, we can convince them it's necessary to go after Iran and Hamas and so forth and so on. I think the good news about the Israeli propaganda organs is they have reached the point where they're almost funny. They would be funny if real people weren't dying in all of this nonsense. But they're reaching to such extremes, trying to sell this lemon to the people of the world, that they're really becoming obvious, and it's really almost humorous. And I'm sure for some academic 50 years from now looking back on all of this, striving for his or her tenure, that they will get a good giggle out of how absurd some of these claims are that are being used to sell these wars. But that's where it is, and it just reinforces the impression that we're getting not only from the ineptness of this supposed pirate attack, but from the comments made on Washington Journal that, well, maybe we need to go into Somalia because Osama bin Laden is rumored to be there, and now we're seeing Israel try and link the Somali pirates to Iran and Hamas and everybody else they don't like. Yeah, this is a publicity stunt. It's intended to start a war. Please do not fall for it, because you're going to have to pay for it, and your kids are going to have to bleed for it. And that is something that is that is a consummation devoutly to be wished at this particular point. So, moving along. Now, if Hamas did want deadly weapons, if they wanted chemical weapons, if they wanted really banned, nasty, toxic things, I know where they can go and get it for free. In fact, this is a shout-out to all the terrorists in the world, that if you want deadly, deadly chemical weapons, the worst ever made, mustard gas, cyanide, lewisite, come to Hawaii, because we got a lot of them. At the end of World War II, the United States military dumped 2,500 tons of chemical weapons off the coast of Oahu in three separate dump sites. There are 16,000 individual bombs down there in the salt water, under ocean pressure, corroding away. But the United States Army has assured us all that those weapons are still safe, that there is no need to clean up these dump sites with all of these very, very deadly, toxic weapons. So they're just sitting down there, and they're going to continue to sit down there. Mustard gas, cyanide, lewisite. Come in, help yourself. Drop a trawling line, pick up all the bombs you need, take them wherever you're going to use them. Talk about rough on tourism. If any of that stuff does start leaking, you can kiss off our fishing industry, and you can kiss off whatever's left of our tourism. Thank you, U.S. government, for having, first of all, dumped them all here, knowing that ocean water is a corrosive environment for the metal that they use to put around these shells, and second, for saying, hey, it's no big deal. We're starting to feel like those people in Georgia where the U.S. government lost a hydrogen bomb just offshore there, and they said, well, it's probably going to be okay. Probably going to be okay. If there's a big blinding white flash, then you know the government lied to you. My goodness. Now, we put an interesting little video up on our website, whatreallyhappened.com today. It's called The Disappearing Mail, and it links to a video that was done on British television. And it sounds kind of like a joke, but it really isn't. There has been a considerable body of research done that is showing that the profusion of exotic chemicals in our common household products is shifting the ratio of males to females being born in the human population. Scientists have noticed for some time that we seem to be producing far more females than males in our Western societies, and really couldn't figure it out. And now they're beginning to realize that it's these chemicals. And the reason it works is because all humans, when they are initially conceived, they are female. It takes an additional series of hormones to convert the female into the male. And if anything interferes with that, then you are left with a female embryo. And they're beginning to understand that some of these chemicals in these common cosmetic household products are interfering with that, and that this explains the disparity in males to females being born into the human population. So there's a lot more women than men out there, and that makes it very competitive for the women. And, you know, for us men, I'm sure there's probably some of you out there willing to make the noble sacrifice of having to please more than one woman at a time. So good luck. And you're going to find out it wasn't that body spray that was making you attractive. You're just becoming a rare commodity out there. Now, a little more serious note here. We're seeing the beginnings of a legal action here in the United States. Goldman Sachs, a major Wall Street investment bank, is generally considered to be the bank of choice for the so-called plunge protection team. They have retained a well-known New York law firm in an attempt to shut down Mike Morgan's blog that is very critical of Goldman Sachs' financial and legal actions. Now, Mike Morgan has not committed slander or libel. Everything in his blog is factual. It's drawn from public records and from what are considered traditional trustworthy news sources. But like most other bloggers, he's pulling it all together and saying, you need to look at this. There may be an issue and a problem. And, of course, in a climate where virtually anybody on Wall Street is being viewed by mainstream America with a great deal of mistrust and suspicion, people are following these leads. It was only a few years ago when we were putting stuff up on our blogs, and your average American would say, ah, it's just a blog, you're a bunch of conspiracy wackos. Now, in our post-Iraq lying about Saddam's nuclear bombs climate, where the average American is very distrustful of government and the corporate media and much more willing to consider alternative explanations for what's going on, the blogs are enjoying, if you'll pardon the expression, a renaissance of readership, and that includes Mike Morgan. And people have been reading his blog, and they're beginning to ask some very penetrating questions about what's been going on at Goldman Sachs. So Goldman Sachs has hired a law firm, big law firm, to try and shut Mike Morgan down. This is obviously a First Amendment issue. It's also an issue of prior restraint. They're trying to basically silence him before he goes public with whatever he wants to say. In the nation that we used to have only 15 years ago, there wouldn't be a chance this lawsuit would go anywhere because of its First Amendment ramifications. These days, it's kind of hard to say what the courts are going to do. There does seem to be a tremendous amount of corporate protectionism and a total abandonment of the Bill of Rights. But what Goldman Sachs is probably really doing, they just want to wear him out and bankrupt him on legal fees. So it's a very, very dangerous precedent. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us
are just left defenseless.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. It's the last segment of our show today, and as soon as this is over, we're all going to be packing Easter baskets full of goodies and stuff for the neighbor kids and whatnot. Looking at the mailbox real quick, I know we've got a caller on the line. We're going to be getting to you really, really soon, but I got this one email message responding to my comment, this is a terrible country to be in right now. The response is, and you know why, I will never, ever enter the USA for any reason whatsoever for the rest of my life. Although this decision does deprive me of seeing the Metropolitan Museum and the Grand Canyon, probably for my lifetime. Are there any boats between Hawaii and the mainland? For now, maybe you can travel by boat, or you and Claire must resign yourselves to being stuck in Hawaii for the rest of your lives. No, there are no boats. In fact, the Inter-Island Airlines and rental car companies just succeeded in wrecking the Inter-Island Ferry that had been here and making our lives a lot easier and making it easier to get between islands for less money. So that's gone as well now in a stunning act of protectionism. And they co-opted the environmental people. The environmentalists, they got suckered. They have no idea how badly they got used in this whole situation. As for the Grand Canyon, you know, it's kind of interesting you should bring that up because I'm in the process right now. I discovered that all of my old 35mm film slides, film is what we used to put in cameras before we put memory sticks, and all my old film slides are beginning to succumb to age and fading and in some cases mold, so I've been in the process of converting them to digital format and doing some image processing and cleaning them up, including a whole bunch that I took at the Grand Canyon many, many years ago, when I was just starting to work for NASA, and this other gentleman and I, we had to do a project out at the Meteor Crater in Arizona. So we took a side trip to the Grand Canyon, and we did some camping and everything. And it was a very wonderful place. And more recently, just before we left Southern California, my wife and I went out to Grand Canyon, and it's totally different. They've turned it almost into, it sort of looks like the Grand Canyon as Disneyland would set it up. There are cages over all the walkways to make sure that you're not dumb enough to fall out and fall down on the rocks. There are barricades. You can't just, you know, you can't go anywhere west of Grand Canyon Village. It's just completely blocked off now. And it's almost like they're so concerned about preserving Grand Canyon that they don't want us icky poo humans to be there. So it's not the experience it used to be. If you ever get here to Hawaii, though, you know, go down to see the volcanoes on the Big Island. You know, that's kind of interesting. They still kind of trust you there. They'll put up a rope with a sign saying, don't step over this rope. And they mean it. You know, don't step over that rope. It may look solid. It probably isn't. It's a thin crust of glass over hot lava. And yes, unfortunately, sadly, every year we lose about a dozen tourists who just think that rope and that warning sign is a joke. But be that as it may, it's still wonderful to see when it's erupting. I digress. We're going to go back to the phone. Steve in Texas. Aloha, Steve. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Got a story and a quick question for you. I know you're busy. I won't take too much of your time. Had a stabbing, two people stabbed where I work. The guy has been released from jail, no charges, won't serve any time in jail. I remember, you know, when I was 15 years old, that was assault with a deadly weapon. No charges, the guy's released. I just wanted to also ask you, we're here in Texas and all this gun grabbing going on. It's not going to happen here. I know a lot of people I've talked to are like, you know, we're not giving up our guns. There's no way it's going to happen. I just wanted to see what it's like on the island, you know, if it's the same kind of stance to that.
We're not as much into firearms as many other places that I've lived at, but, you know, we've got one group of local reenactors who are into black powder. We do have a lot of indoor ranges, mostly catering to the Japanese tourists coming in, but the police gun range over by Cocoa Head is open to the public, and people go there and they do a lot of shooting, and there's a pretty regular crowd there. So I wouldn't say that we have a huge percentage of gun owners, but the people who do own guns, they are definitely not interested in surrendering them for a gift card anytime soon.
Definitely not. Well, thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right.
Thanks an awful lot, Steve. Thanks for the call, and please call in again and tell all your friends. Yeah, this whole thing about the Los Angeles plan to do a gun buyback program. Yes, bring us your guns. We promise not to see if they've been used in a crime, and we'll give you a gift card for them. These never work. They look good in the media, and it looks like, yes, we're trying to do something. But the guns they wind up getting have either been stolen from their rightful owners, which causes additional problems, or they turn out to be junk that never have been used in crimes, that are just rusted out hulks that can't fire anymore, and they turn them in for the gift card. And so they're really not effective. It's a PR stunt. It's all public relations. And, you know, in a way, if you think about it, that's kind of a big part of why the United States sort of fell off the path that it was on originally, because over the years, over the decades, as advertising came in and as public relations came in, which in its early days was an almost uniquely American concept of public relations, we began to worry less and less about how things actually were and focused our efforts on how they looked. And this is why today we're at a point where the few companies that we do have remaining in the United States that make products are putting out products that don't work very well. They're very defective. A lot of problems with them. But we put out a lot of TV commercials saying how wonderful it all is. And I remember just a few years back, I was working on another movie, and we were using a particular type of software. And when it had been brought into the company, we had been prepped in advance with all of these stunning testimonials from known figures in the field of computer animation about this is the future and this is how it's going to work and it's going to be this and it's going to be that. And when we got the actual product, it was crud with a capital cur. And we actually lost a year on our production schedule dealing with all the problems on this software. And, yes, years later, it's a lot more robust and a lot more stable, which is why I'm not telling you which software package I'm referring to here. But in those early days, we were all walking around saying, there is something going wrong here, because these are all very famous people in our industry, and they're singing the praises of this system. They can't have been using the same thing that we were doing. Or, they were paid a huge amount of money or some other consideration to lend their name to this. Sometimes they call it spin doctoring. We know, going back to Desert Storm, that one of the biggest companies, Hill & Knowlton, was behind this story that the Iraqis were taking babies out of incubators at the Kuwait hospitals and leaving the babies to die on the floor and shipping the incubators back to Iraq. And it was a horrible story and just angered Americans and said, yes, we're going to go stomp on those Iraqis. And it turned out the story was a complete hoax, complete manufactured by a public relations firm. Hill & Knowlton. And Hill & Knowlton counts the U.S. government as one of its biggest clients. And I think the moral there here is that lying is a big business in the United States of America. That as a culture, as a nation, that we're not really all that worried about how good things really are or how bad things really are. It's all about appearances. It is form over substance. And this gets back to what I've been saying about the obvious attempts to run up the Dow Jones Industrial Average and use it as a banner that everything is wonderful, even as we continue to see store closings around us and people losing their jobs. And every other sign is indicating that this economic mess, we have not seen the bottom yet. It's going to continue to get worse. But they're looking for anything that will convince you that it's really all right, and if you personally are suffering right now, it's somehow your fault, and you deserve it. And therefore, you should just stay silent and just deal with your problems yourself and not make a fuss to everybody around you. And see, I'm exactly of the opposite opinion. If you've had your job outsourced to a foreign country, or your interest rates are being raised and you haven't done anything to deserve it, I think you should be making as much noise as you possibly can. And certainly with this idea of all this additional tax debt being dumped on every one of our heads, despite calling Congress and saying no, I think you need to make a big noise about that as well. Because going back to last September, we, the American people, keep telling our government no, 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 no. And our government goes, yes, we can take all your money and give it to Wall Street, because that's the American way. And, we're going to see a lot of protests on April 15th. I hope they're noisy. I hope they're loud. I hope they shake the foundations of the country. Anyway, that's our show today. It just whizzed on by. Thanks to everybody who called in and all of our chat room regulars, because they really helped get the show going, get some ideas flowing. Have a good weekend. Tomorrow, of course, is Easter. Please drive carefully as you're going on about your business. There are a lot of reckless drivers out there. We're seeing an increase in the traffic accidents out here in Hawaii. And, partly it's just people under stress, partly it's road rage, partly, unfortunately, it is substance abuse, and you've got to watch out for that as well. So take care of yourself, because the government is not going to do it. And until Monday at 5 p.m. Central Time, Aloha, America.